in year 2000, September. And Pastor Margaret Court was one of them who was with us at that time, and we worked at the university. Where was that? I can't remember. Murdoch University. Yeah, we had some meetings there, and it was really great. So ever since that time, I've been coming to Perth possibly twice a year. Because sometimes when I'm coming to Perth, I think I'm going somewhere overseas. You know, it's so far away. And yeah, it's like a long day. So it's about 4 hours flying time from Melbourne. And then, yeah, but we are here. You're here. And that's all what is needed for the Lord to move. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, before I start sharing the word, I want to first thank Pastor for inviting me and your leadership here. Because normally people are very scared to get a preacher like me to come and preach. Because when I finish speaking, you have to decide, like Elijah just said, choose today what side are you on, or what side are you on? Either you're with Baal, or you're with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And at the end of these three services, you can choose which side you're on. Whether you want to be a pussy-footing Christian, meaning a person who is pampered, lovey-dovey all the time, user-friendly, seeker-friendly, all rubbish, or you want to be a fair dinkum, born again, spirit-filled, demon-casting out, amen, believer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. Because when I come to minister, I want to see action.
Yes.
If there's no action, I get very bored. And I don't like that boredom. I want to see action. So I want to trust the Lord. Now, I have a few products available at the table there. So who is taking care of those products? You are, thank you. And that sister will look after you. If you smile, she will possibly give you free and she'll pay for it. Okay. I've written two books. My first book, I wrote it in Saudi Arabia when I was serving the church underground, 40 minutes from Mecca. This book basically speaks of how twice I was almost executed in Saudi Arabia. One particular incident, I was facing 8 machine guns and 20 soldiers. When my house was raided, I had 400 Bibles in my home. I won't tell you the story because you won't buy the book. So this is a powerful tool. Tens of thousands of copies have sold. Hundreds upon hundreds of people have got born again. People start reading the book and they say they can put it down. All night they read it through, and by morning they call their whole family and all of them give their hearts to the Lord. Tremendous testimonies. I've also written a second book which is just released and published in the US as well as Australia. The 21st Century Culture War in the West. And it's a very insightful book of what's happening, particularly in the religion of Islam. Why every nation should be careful of what's happening, particularly the West. Very informative. I know that government leaders have got copies, as well as many, many people from different walks of life have bought these copies and have been tremendously blessed to understand what are we faced with. We are actually in World War III, and the strangest thing or the shocking thing is the enemy could be right around your house. Because you don't know who your enemy is. Satan is our enemy. But Satan does use people to fulfill his cause. Also, there's another DVD called Kingdom of God. The gospel which Jesus brought was twofold. Gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Both have to go hand in hand. The church has forgotten the gospel of the kingdom, has been preaching the gospel of salvation, and that seemed to be very easy to do. The gospel of salvation, in a nutshell, we're looking for revival. But the gospel of the kingdom, we're looking for reformation. I'm tired of pocket revivals. They come for a season and they go for a season. Revivals are good to stir you up, but very often people don't go on to live with the revival. They go back into their cells, or they go back into their shadows, or they go back into their tents, or into their caves. But a reformation is when a whole nation, from government downwards, everyone is transformed. And the kingdom of God is meant to be a reformation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I have another DVD called God's Courtroom. Tremendous teaching on that one. To understand that every word which comes out of your mouth is used in God's courtroom by the devil or by Jesus. the accuser of the brethren. The word of God says constantly accuses you in the sight of God. So which means God is seated there. The word of God says Jesus is on the right side of the Father interceding for you and me. So which means if Jesus is our defendant lawyer, Satan is our prosecuting lawyer. I won't go into that today, but this is another teaching about how we work on things. Taking the high places for Jesus, Mount Ainslie, a documentary produced when we confronted 100 Satanists armed with knuckle dusters, iron bars, chains, bottles. There were Satanists, occult members, who came to attack us when we pray on Mount Ainslie. And you'll see this full footage of full-on operation of the power of God and the powers of darkness coming head-on, but how the powers of darkness were defeated on Mount Ainslie in Canberra. I'll talk about it later on. Now, all my products have copyright on them, meaning it's all right to copy. Why do you say copyright? If you don't want to do it, you should copy wrong. Praise God. How many of you get emails from us? Are you anyone here? You? If you'd like to get emails, it's about the kingdom of God, about praying, fasting. Those are the things you'll get from us most of the time. The folder will be at the back of the table there. If you want to get your email address, you can put it down. We'll let you. You can put your bank details too. No. That's okay. Right, praise God. I was seated here and I was thinking, Lord, in these three meetings, my heart's desire is that you will move from natural thinking to supernatural living. Okay? From natural thinking into supernatural living. Now, if I put natural here and if I put supernatural here, what do you think is needed? One word is needed to cross from natural to supernatural. What's that word? Take a guess. Who said that? Faith. Well done. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. The natural, you plan, you program, and you want to make sure that you don't make any mistakes. And what you get is a program in a church. But when you put faith into action, that produces results. That brings the supernatural into operation. Let me give you one illustration. Can you put that photograph of that young girl on the hospital bed at the ICU? That's it. This was about 2 years ago. God started doing some amazing things at the intensive care unit at the Monash Hospital in Clayton, Victoria. Prior to this girl, about 6 months prior to this, there was a girl called Fallon who was dying because she had a brain aneurysm, and the doctors gave up on her. They were about to turn off the life support, called all the family to come and farewell the girl. When I was asked to come down to pray, I got a call from Western Australia, actually, saying my cousin is in hospital. Her daughter is dying. She's 17 years old. Can you please go and pray for her? So I jumped in my car, drove down to the hospital. When I walked in, it was literally a funeral ceremony already taking place. There were about 70 Catholics. They were all in the waiting room. There were about 10 of them in the intensive care unit inside the room. They are lovely, faithful believers. You know, the Catholics are very, very faithful. God bless them. And sometimes we can be very sincere, but we can be also sincerely wrong. So are the Muslims. They are very sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. The problem with the born-again Christians are this. They are not sincere. We are not sincere. We come to church, we go home, and that's about it. We want revival, but we don't do anything about it. If we have fair income, we got to be really, really on our knees, storming heaven day and night. But just not praying is not going to work. You've got to then step out and put faith into action. So when I went into this hospital, I saw these beautiful 10 Catholic people praying the rosary and saying the Hail Mary, because the life support was about to turn off that night. I remember walking in and seeing hopelessness there. In the natural, it was lost. Not this girl, but I'm talking of another girl before this, 6 months before this. I remember praying in Jesus' name and casting the spirit of death out of the room. I won't go into all the details. Almost instantly, the presence of God touched that girl. Within 24 hours, about 65 out of the 70 Catholics gave their hearts to the Lord. That girl is alive. Now, when this girl was admitted in the same hospital, in the intensive care unit, actually in the same room, someone in the hospital told them, because this girl, her name is Maddie, she's 14. She complained of a headache. The mother took her to the GP, who said she had a migraine. Give some Panadol, she went home. A few days later, the headache didn't go off, went back. He said the same. But the mother took her home, and the doctor said, keep in a dark room. But seeing that it was not working, she then took her to a specialist who basically ordered a CT scan, which showed that she had a brain tumor, a tumor growing right next to the brain. And the tumor was pressing on her brain, and it urgent surgery, immediate surgery. So she was taken into intensive care, they operated, but the tumor burst and flowed into the brain, causing her brain damage or whatever you call it, but she ended up being on life support. The doctors told the parents, we're sorry, you might have to turn the life support off. It's a very, very rare chance of your daughter living. Even if she lives, she will not talk, she will not walk, she will not recognize you. So there was hopelessness. There was a 12-year-old younger sister and a 16-year-old older sister, as well as the mother and the father. Interesting enough, with me is Peter from Rise Catch the Fire, one of my team members, and his wife's name is Melanie. This girl's mother and father are Peter and Melanie too. Well, to cut a long story short, I prayed in Jesus' name. I refused to accept death. I put faith into action, and I said, Lord, you said you will raise the dead. You raise the dead. You told me if I have faith, I can raise the dead. You said, place your hand on the sick and they shall be healed. I believe that you will heal her. Now in Jesus' name, I cast spirit of death. Leave this room. Get out in Jesus' name. I call back, Maddie, come back. Life return. Anyway, I left the hospital. I went home. 12 hours later, I got a text message from the mother. Pastor, it's shocking. It's amazing. Maddie opened her eyes. And she looked at me. And I think she recognized me. 24 hours later, Maddie smiled. 48 hours later, Maddie sat up on the bed. 72 hours later, two people held her hands, myself and my husband. She's taking a few steps. 5 days later, let's see Maddie. Let's give the Lord a clap for it. That girl plays basketball now. The doctor said, we have no words. We don't know what happened. All we can say is, it's shocking. And the mother said, it's Jesus. I've led about 100 people in the intensive care unit in these last few months. I was at a function with my wife at a reception, and my telephone rang. Unknown call. So I picked the phone up. I said, yes, could I help you? And the guy on the other side said, I'm Dr. So-and-so from Monash Intensive Care Unit. And I'm thinking, why are you calling me? I said, yeah, could I help you? He says, yes, you can. He says, Pastor, I heard that you have prayed for some people who are on life support in the intensive care unit in Clayton. I'm one of the doctors in the hospital. One of my patients is on life support. I'm wondering whether you can come and pray because we are about to turn off the life support tonight. And I'm thinking, this doctor was not born again. Complete heathen calls a pastor to come and pray for one of his patients. How about that? That's the first time I parked free at Monash Intensive Care. Because the doctor came and accompanied me into the ward. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah! I want to tell you, we need people in the church to move into this place of knowing that God can move. You know why we don't want to try? Because we have too much pride. Our ego gets in the way of God's moving. What if it does not happen? What if it does not happen? Who cares if it does not happen? As if though you're the healer. We're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Just blame him. If you don't get healed, I don't know. Jesus didn't want to heal you, maybe. Pray a little louder. No, I'm just joking. But this is important for us to understand. Church is not just coming on Sunday to church and going back home. If that's the case, the Buddhists do the same. They go to the temple. The Hindus go to the place called the Kovil. The Muslims go to the mosque. The Jews go to the synagogue. Christians go to church. Born in a garage does not make you a car. Neither going to McDonald's will never make you a Big Mac. What is needed is you need to have an encounter with Jesus to understand that the power of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit in you, you are an amazing, super, super, super fantastic, supernatural, walking, talking being in Jesus' name. I lead a political party. The reason I'm reading that is not because I want to be a politician as such. I'm not looking forward for a political career as such. Neither am I looking forward for a salary. But because the Lord said to me, this will be a vehicle to reach Australia. Think out of the box. The only reason we're running this party is to see the supernatural activated. Because I believe the time is coming that the kingdom of God is at hand. And for the kingdom of God to be established, there has to be for example, say a government is going to come into operation. Why is the opposition called shadow ministry? They're called the shadow ministries. That's because they have a shadow of a real government prepared in place to put when they come into office. Likewise, Jesus wants his Christian church to be prepared to move in to possess the land. To be Jesus, be glorified in the nation. So that the kingdom of God will be functional. That's when you're going to see national reformation. So I am trusting the Lord for the supernatural. That, you know, the Lord says in Ezekiel, I look for a man, but I couldn't find one. I pray that will never be said of Australia. Amen. That God will find people standing across this land. Red, white, black, or yellow, does not matter. The Lord will see a people willing to stand in the gap. It's not about winning. It's not about losing. It's about standing. And if we can keep standing, as long as we have to stand, until he shows up, he will show up. He will never break his promise. We do, but he does not. I remember when Pastor spoke to me a while ago, he said, it's our second anniversary. We are a small congregation. Would you come? I said, yes. You know why I have come? It's because I know that in this room, there's enough people to turn Australia right side up. Do you believe that? Yes. In this room, there are people enough to turn Australia right side up. Mind you, 12 guys without internet, without aircrafts, without television, without radio, without universities, without nothing, turn the then-known world right side up in 32 years. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. When God starts moving, people will start functioning and realize this is something different beyond our understanding. So I am trusting the Lord for a mighty breakthrough across Australia. I know some of you might have heard that how I was sued and taken to court in 2002, not because I was doing drugs, but because I was preaching the word of God. And I was told that I had, violated or vilified the Muslim community. So I asked the Equal Opportunity Commission, what have I done? And they read certain things that I've said. And I noted that I read, but they read was all verses from the Quran. Imagine my going and complaining, saying, you read my Bible and it offends me. I looked at them and I said, what are you guys talking about? These are direct verses from the Quran. Does it offend you? Then how much more should it offend me? But they said, truth is not a defense. What are you talking about? The barrister told the judge, Your Honor, truth is not a defense in this court case. That's how stupid it is becoming the nation right now, because the Christians are bowing down, saying, we're going to take Australia. For 4 minutes they talk about it. Forget about it for the next whole day. While the enemy is preparing a 2% less population to take a nation for Satan. We need to turn this around. And you can do it. We can do it. Do you believe we can do it?
Yes.
Praise God, we can. But we need to step in. So I'll share this because talking about the natural into the supernatural. In the natural, it was a David and Goliath fight that I was faced with. Because the Equal Opportunity Commission said, why don't we mediate? I said, sure. I love the Muslim people. But I said, I have the right to speak what I'm sharing. You can't stop me. And then we started talking, and they talked, and they wanted me to apologize to them. And I said, why should I apologize for speaking the truth? You don't apologize for speaking the truth. I said, this is Australia. You have come here, you become a part of this country. This country was built on Judeo-Christian values. That's what we stand for. You're free to worship, but don't try to change the laws of this country, because I will not bow down to that at all. I'll stand and fight. After 8 hours, the Islamic Council's president told me this in the Equal Opportunity Commission. He said, just apologize. If not, you'll be in big trouble, man. I will make you pay. I'll take you to High Court, Supreme Court, High Court. You'll end up in jail. And I thought of David looking at Goliath and saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's trying to tell me what to do? Yeah, I looked in his eyes and I said, Mr. Yasa Suleiman, the God I serve is far bigger than what you think. Let me tell you this. You can sue me. You can take me to court. Nothing is going to stop me. I will not apologize. I will stand and fight this case. Then he said, you'll have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's all right. I said, I know a person who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He thought I knew a lot of farmers. The case started, supposed to be 3 days. It went on for 5 years. 40 days of court hearing. Now, how many of us are willing to pay that price? 40 days from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in a courtroom, in a witness box, being drilled by barristers and lawyers. Or simply speaking the truth. I remember the Islamic Council's barrister saying this to the, telling me one day. She said, every time she asked me a question, the Lord gave me an answer through the Bible. Because this is the word of God. He says, when you're in front of judges and rulers, don't worry what you're going to say, for I'll fill your mouth with words. It's great. Here's the time to prove it. I'm in the witness box. Every time she asked me a question, I said, thus says the Lord. And I answered from the word of God. I had preached like 60 sermons by this time in the courtroom when she suddenly realized that I was preaching. So she said, put your Bible down. I told her, madam, No one tells me to put my Bible down. Your job is to ask questions. My job is to answer questions. How I answer is none of your business. She said, Your Honor, this man is using the witness box as a pulpit to preach sermons. She was right. I said, so be it, Your Honor. The judge said, he's an intelligent witness. I'll let him continue to do what he's doing. Yes. So I preached even more. Praise God. I'm just showing you how the natural and the supernatural work. Persistence in faith will see the victory. Maybe you're having someone you know or yourself might be going through a major challenge at your work, in your marriage, in your family, I don't know what. In your health, persist in prayer. Persist in faith. For our Redeemer, He is alive. You have to win. There is no losing in this game. You have to win. So I remember the tribunal judge who was so confused because he's never had a court case like this in his courtroom. He had to study the Quran. He came and on the day of judgment, 3 years into the court case, he gave his verdict. He said, this is a setup against Catch the Fire Ministries. That's what he said. However, I have a legislation under which I have to rule. Thus, I am finding him guilty for vilification. Now, for me not to rear, what he told me then was I had to apologize. Put advertisements in the newspapers for $80,000 and never speak out again about Islam. Now what this, I'm just sharing this because this is so important. Most people don't understand this. What this bill which was passed in parliament meant was this in reality. If I'm sitting in a restaurant and I tell someone Jesus is the only way to heaven, and if someone else is not a party to my conversation but listens to what I'm saying, he or she had the ability to sue me on the grounds that I hurt their feelings. Not subjective, not objective, but subjective. Now, generally, in law, you are innocent until you are proven guilty. But here, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. So, in other words, I have to hire a lawyer to defend myself to prove that I'm innocent, not the guy who's accusing me. How crazy is that? So, the judge found me guilty. He got up, bowed down, and he walked out. As he walked out, see the supernatural, how it kicks in. We heard this noise. Strange noise, like something cracking. A second. Now all turned back and looked at the back of the courtroom. A third crack. And this massive courtroom door, which was so high, so thick, so big, the three hinges cracked. And the courtroom door fell into the courtroom. Just like that. Now everyone went, wow. But I knew God was speaking. You know what the Lord told me? I said, what's this, Lord? He said, son, no door shall come in your way to block what I'm going to do in this nation. Stand your ground. I'll break open doors to fulfill my cause if you stay faithful and persist in faith. I said, yes. I took the case to Supreme Court. I remember this, when I came out of the courtroom, all the media was there. And they said, you lost the case. I said, no. They said, you lost the case. I said, no. They said, what do you mean? I said, what I mean is, Jesus, when he died on the cross, everyone thought he lost the case. But 3 days later, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he won the battle. I said, I've lost the battle, but I'll win the whole case. In Jesus' name. So are you going to apologize? I said, no. But they'll take you to prison if the Supreme Court does not appeal, accept your appeal. I said, yeah. So what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to start a prison ministry. And honestly, I was already planned out to start a prison ministry. You got to be ready. What's coming? Where are they going to put me from there? And the next day, front page of the newspaper said, pastor ready to go to jail, stands and fights for free speech. The next 72 hours, I literally led hundreds and hundreds of Aussies to the Lord. Don't ask me how it happened, but many, many university students got challenged by my stand and decided to turn to Jesus. Yes. I love it. I love it. I was so excited. Atheist, agnostics, Buddhist, and Hindus were lining up in my office, literally sitting in the reception, waiting for an opportunity to meet me, to give me money to fight the court case. Each one of them, I prayed with them. Some of them gave their hearts to the Lord. 2 years later, I won the Supreme Court case, and I was cleared. Prime Minister John Howard then asked me to come to his office and officially thank me on behalf of the nation of Australia. He said, pastor, may I thank you as the Prime Minister for what you have done for my country and our country. He said, you have set a precedence in the judiciary system. If ever someone is taken for litigation, they'll now have a defense to fight. You have won free speech back for Australia. Then he got up from his seat and he said, may I thank you on behalf of the nation as the Prime Minister. Today there are 83 court cases in the world where they're using my case as a defense. I had none. There was no precedent set before me. My case was the decision maker. So today we can still talk about Jesus and they can't take us to prison. Hallelujah. This is what most pastors don't understand. My case got them the freedom to preach the word of God. So 6 months, the court case had finished now. All the action has finished. I was getting really bored. And I get an email from the homosexual lobby. They say I've upset them and that they're going to take me to court. Wow, wasn't I so excited? I wrote back to them and I said, thank you, this is the greatest news I've heard for a long time. I said I was getting really bored because my case had finished 6 months ago. Look forward to seeing you in the courtroom. Let me know as quickly as you can. They never ever wrote back to me. What a mighty God we serve. Yes. Hallelujah! Oh, Rabba Shanda. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if that was not enough, a few months later, I get a letter from the magistrate's court in Frankston, Victoria. And I'm thinking, now what have I done? Maybe a speeding fine. No, it was not. The satanic cult of Victoria has taken a court action against me. Bring a restraining order so that I can't pray for their cult members. You know why? They were sending satanist witches and warlocks into my church to try to destroy the church and me. But as they came in, they got touched by the Holy Ghost, got born again, and I baptized them. So they were furious. So they took me to court. Now I go to the courtroom and I'm wondering, what on earth is this court case going to be? So I didn't hire any lawyers. My wife has told me you're already a lawyer. I asked her why. She said, because you have been 5 years in the courtroom, now you're talking to me like a lawyer. So I thought that was a good qualification because your wife knows you the best. I went in to two of my leaders. The satanic cult members were all seated there. The barristers were there. The judge comes, he sits and he bows down and he sits down and he says, this case is in between Catch the Fire Ministries and the satanic cult of Victoria. Then the judge puts his eyebrows up and he tells the satanic cult barrister, do you know who you are trying to sue? This is a magistrate asking the opposition barrister, prosecuting barrister, do you know who you are trying to sue? And I'm thinking, what on earth is he talking about? Then the judge says, Catch the Fire Ministries is very well known in this country because another group tried to take them to court. It was a media circus for 5 years. And they won the case. Now why are you trying to take them to court? Then he reads their document and it says, this pastor, we have warned him several times, but he's not listening to us. He's converting our cult members. So we want a restraining order. How stupid is that? And the magistrate says, when I read your documentation, I think the pastor should be taking a restraining order against you. Because you are threatening him and he still seems to be loving your people. And he says, this case is closed. There shall be no restraining order given to the pastor. On the contrary, I think I'll applaud him for what he's doing. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whoa. He is the King. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he's a king. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up on the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I'll lift him higher, I'll lift him higher. I'll lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up on the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Turn to someone and say, you're a history maker. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Yes, church, we are truly history makers.
Amen.
You got to get to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But for him to work through you, he needs to be able to trust you. He needs to know that you will never give up, that you will go through the fire and the waters, that you will not be burnt, you will not be drowned. For he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's expecting us to stand in the gap for Australia. Because I'll tell you what, the whole world is dependent on our nation. Seriously, the whole world is dependent on our nation. Because the words, prophetic words spoken over Australia is very unique. That the end time last outpouring will fall on this land. And that this land is going to take the outpouring to the nations of the world and usher in the second coming of Jesus. That was spoken by Smith Wigglesworth. You know that? So I believe God has a great destiny, but he's looking for a people who are willing to fulfill that destiny. I believe we are that people. We are that generation. So stop thinking little. Start thinking big. Start thinking big because we serve a big God. I was looking through my Bible. You know, I live in a city called, a place called Keysborough. But I'm sure you would have heard of a city called Dandenong. Yeah, in Victoria, you heard of Dandenong? Right. I was looking through the Bible. Every page, I look to see if there's anywhere it said, ask of me and I'll give you Dandenong. Couldn't find it. I even tried Perth. Couldn't find it. Melbourne, I couldn't find it. I'm joking. But I found something. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will give us Australia. And if we ask of it, he will give it. In 2000, he told me, give me 20 years of your life and I'll give you this nation as an inheritance. I have 5 more years to go. And I'm declaring and claiming that this land belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
You can join together with me in trusting the Lord for that miracle. I pray in the next 2 meetings that you will rise up into a place when I leave this place that the Holy Spirit will continue to do the work. Because he is the one who does the work, not me. That you will get into a place of saying, yes, yes, yes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God bless you. Thank you.